Reading from the Bhagavatam, the chapter 7, text 60. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Evam Vasantaram Nipa. Nijam Swasta Yutum Vacha. Yad Uttam Balaramena Shutva Bhavantaram Gata. Sri Parikshit said, Balaram spoke these words to change his younger brother's ecstatic mood and bring him back to normal. Indeed, upon hearing what Balaram said, Krishna did change his mood. Commentary. Before hearing these words, Krishna was swimming in the prema ras of the most confidential loving dealing. But now he was in a heroic mood. Thus, in the next verse, Krishna referred to him as Bhagavan. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chaksurim Lutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vayagya Vidvakti Visham Tiyatnai Apayama Manadipta Mandam Kripam Bhiya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatanistam Kavsamatsyami Vancha Kampa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayedacha Patitanam Bhavanejo Vaishnavejo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare So, greetings from Sri Bhambayapur. It's Odarya Dham, the Dham on the place of magnanimity. He described previous class that there's similarities and differences to the Dham, as there are similarities and differences to manifestations of God, as there are similarities and differences in ourselves according to our mood. Even our mood will change our form. You see how a person's body becomes red and contorted when they're angry. When they're frightened, it becomes pale. And then there's other colors that represent other moods. Depressed, someone is blue, got the blues. Green with envy. Yellow with cowardice. Anyway, we understand that according to mood, according to relationship, intimacy, we manifest ourselves in different ways. It's one entity manifests in different ways. The Mayapur and Vrindavan are one entity manifest in different ways. As Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one entity manifest in different ways. The Madhurya aspect of the Swayam Bhagavan, the first original manifestation of God, is the exchange of Radha and Krishna. The Audarya manifestation of Swayam Bhagavan, the full manifestation of Godhead, magnanimity, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mayapur, you can feel that magnanimity, that kripa, that mercy. Even from a social aspect, it's such an incredible place. They have such a beautiful grihastha married couple, you know, the whole community, married or not married, but they have it, it's not a brahmachari, it's just apartments that people have with parks, and just such a wonderful to exchange with devotees. Someone mentioned that ordinarily in the world, if you do kirtan, you have to be quiet or your neighbor will hear you. And maybe the kirtan will be stopped. Here, if you do kirtan, then the neighbor will join you. And just walking to different places, different people invite me for prasadam. Develop quite deep relationships based on the principles of affection and love, which is guyam atyakshi kuchati. You give knowledge and people acquire in confidence, and that's a very affectionate relationship. And I'm here in the Vaishnava Academy. We have a beautiful hall upstairs. It's ideal. It's set up very nicely for my class. And I speak every day, and I'm doing the 10th canto. And what an incredible leader. The wives of the commons blessed. And we've come to a very exciting part that these wives of the Brahmins, they had met Krishna simply by hearing about him extensively at Eganis school. This is the process of developing love for Godhead, Eganis. We hear about Krishna. We hear about Krishna's pastimes. That's why I'm reading Great Bhagavatamrita. I'm doing 10th canto on Wednesday. This is the process. By hearing about a person whom you have a natural relationship with, or even a potentially natural relationship, and hearing about their descriptions of their activities and qualities, the eagerness grows. These wives of Brahmins, their eagerness is grown by hearing to the extent that Snigdha, Mayushita, Diya, that their intelligence, Ushita, was residing. Maya, in me, Krishna said, why? Out of affection. That's why bhakti is the topmost yoga, because there is a loving relationship with the object of your meditation, which is the holy name. And there's nothing that creates absorption in an object as much as relationship and love does. Bhakti yoga. They were completely absorbed. And then Krishna sent his friends to get food for them and said, Krishna is passing nearby. And he requires some food. He had a need that they can serve, and that's the beauty of God. That if you have a desire to serve him, he will develop the actual need that requires your service to deepen that intimacy and deepen that relationship. We can imagine the extent of the affection in their hearts. And how that affection, when they told that Krishna had some need, and they immediately began to cook fragrant and tasty foodstuffs. That was a physical manifestation of what was in their heart, which could be carried to Krishna to express their love. How much devotion. And they were running toward Krishna with Chaturvidha Shiva, with four types of foodstuffs, and there was no obstacle to their, like the river that flows to the ocean. If the river is flowing to the ocean, you cannot stop it, because no matter what you put before it, the river will eventually get around. Once you have pure devotion, it does not stop, it flows. Because it's causeless, there's no motive. And if there's no motive for an activity, how are you going to stop that activity? And then finally they came to the bank of the Jamuna. That there was a beautiful Ashok trees, and then they saw Krishna and the cowherd boys strolling along the Jamuna. And they saw his blue color and his yellow silken garlands and the Vajrayanti Mala, five types of forest flowers, exquisite garland down to his knees, dressed as a dramatic dancer, with cascading black hair and yellow tulips in his ears. And they saw the beautiful form of Krishna. And they took that form in the aperture of their eyes and embraced it within their hearts. Completely absorbed, their mind completely absorbed the object of their love. It's a very, very beautiful pastime. And Krishna, when he sees them, he's whirling this white lotus in his hand. And he's doing it in such a way that he's expressing to them, this is what your heart is like, just whirling. Well, maybe this is what my heart is like. It's just whirling. And because they had given up everything for Krishna, it was pleasing. Krishna saw them. He saw them and he saw their heart. He saw they had no other hopes or desires but to be with him. And he smiled because that's what gives Krishna pleasure. Our love and devotion to him. Our exclusive love and devotion. And that's what darshana is. That's actually when you go before the deities. The real darshan is that Krishna is the seer and the seeing. And what does Krishna see? He sees what's in our heart. And bhakti means to give him pleasure. So the best thing to offer God is a pure heart. A heart that's filled with love, that has no other desire to please him. A beautiful, beautiful story in the 10th canto. 1 second. Now, I just got a terrible ecstatic sneezing attack. 1 second, I have to take care of it. And I'll try to continue. So now we're in the Brihad Bhagavatamani book. We actually haven't done it for a few weeks. Last week during the introduction, the phone call dropped. I think the week before we had the pleasure of glorifying the informed Vaishnavas who passed away. So, as we know, Narad Muni searching for the topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy, which are those with the most love, infinite love, which draws out. Okay. draws out the heart of Krishna, and that's mercy. Mercy is being accepted by God in a relationship. He offers his heart to the devotee. The art is in Dwarka and somehow his going to Dwarka instigates a discussion of the love and separation of the residents of Vrindavan, which reminds Krishna of his own feelings for the residents of Vrindavan, which creates such mood of separation and ecstatic feelings that Krishna is out of consciousness. He's brought to New Vrindavan to revive him by Vrindavana. And you know that New Vrindavan is a replica. Another Vrindavan is a replica. An exact replica done by the chief architect of the demigods, who's the most expert at these things. And gradually they bring Krishna into the mood of Krishna, which means where he has a full manifestation of his personality to those who love him intimately. We make that point throughout our discussion, and it's such a wonderful point to think of, that when one takes a superior position, to satisfy those subordinate to one, one has to cover intimate parts of one's personality. And in Vrindavan, where God comes and sheds his majesty or divinity, there's no covering for his full heart to manifest. Experiencing that by having the relationship of spontaneous love that draws that out of the personality of Godhead, the experience of that is the topmost mercy. There's nothing more beautiful than the full revelation of God, which comes to those who love him in a spontaneous and intimate way. So, although it's a replica of Vrindavan, because Krishna thinks it's Vrindavan and sees these statues and the residents of Vrindavan, which in his mood of separation, thinks they're real, and he begins to exchange with them. And the uncovered, intimate side, beautiful side of the personality of Godhead is manifest. So that relieves the separation, because that's why he fainted. Because he was feeling so much separation from Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan. So that relieved his mood of separation. But now Lord Brahma understood that they now have to bring him back. Now that they relieved his mood of separation, they have to bring him back to the understanding of his position in Dwarka as the king with responsibilities and duties to perform. And to bring out that mood, they bring out his Dira Ras, his spirit of chivalry, by describing some threat, great threat to the Pandavas by their enemies. And Balaram, his business and his ecstatic mood changed, and it brought him back to normal. And his mood now has changed from that prema ras. He's now then understanding that he's the king. And therefore, again, intimate sides of his personality are again shown. In one sense, he's no longer Krishna. Because Krishna is not just the person, it's the person of Godhead when he's all attractive. And God is only all attractive when he's in the setting of Vrindavan, the natural setting where he has the intimate relationship with the residents of Vrindavan. So I'm going to read a little bit. So he responded to this move, and the personality of Godhead grew angry and said, "Brother, who are those useless creatures? Salva's younger brother knows like him. I will go by myself and kill them at once. Trust these words of mine is true. They give my firm promise. In this way, the circumstances of the movement of moment made Lord Krishna forget his confusion." Because his confusion was, another Vrindavan, he was in the mood of going out to take care of the cows, and he was in his vesh, his dress as a cowherd was. And he got to the ocean, he thought it was the Jamuna, but then he saw the palaces of Dwarka, and then became confused. Am I Krishna? And having a dream that I'm Vasudeva Krishna, that I'm the king of Dwarka? Or am I the king of Dwarka and having a dream that I'm Krishna? So now he's fully in the mood of the king of Dwarka. So it says, Krishna's bewilderment was in fact his complete rapture, the highest prema ras, but so now we have to refrain from these ecstasies. Looking around again, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Sri Dwarka and the divine king of the Yadavas. He remembered that he had been sleeping inside the palace. Then he saw the flute in his hand and himself and his elder brother dressed like forest dwellers. Krishna perceived he had gone out of the city to tend cows, and this filled him with surprise and doubt. He laughed as he pondered. He was trying to figure out, who am I? Am I the king of Dwarka? Am I a coward boy? I was the king of Dwarka and I went out to tend the cows, but what am I doing with this flute? Commentary, now aware of himself as the prince of Dwarka, Krishna had to reckon with the obvious fact that he and Balaram were dressed like coward boys, and been tending the cows along the shore of the ocean. So, okay, now I'm the king of Dwarka, but what am I doing dressed in this cowherd boy? This is not the dress of the king. He wondered why they were acting like this and whether these things were actually happening or some sort of illusion. He laughed at his own inability to figure this out and at his long lapse from normal consciousness. His brother Balaram understood what Krishna was thinking. Balaram explained that this was all Brahma's arrangement and told Krishna the reasons why it had been done. So now Krishna's back. He understood. Okay, this is what happened. I was a resident. I was in the palace of Dwarka. Narada Muni came. He called Uddhava the greatest devotee, and Uddhava said, "I'm not the greatest devotee." He told about the time that he visited Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna to the gopis, and going to Vrindavan, saw the extent of their love, but the separation had still not subsided. Last year, when I was here I went to a disciples meeting. They asked me to go with Srila Bhakti Kirti Swami. And then I was fielding questions. And there was one lady that was taking care of the samadhi of Srila Bhakti Kirti Swami. passed away, I don't know, 6 years ago? I'm not sure how many years ago. But she was still feeling separation. After 6 years, intense separation. She loved her guru so much. And this lady comes to my classes every day. And I see that she, how qualified she is, how she's drinking every word of Krishna Katha that's spoken. So I just think, what love? The perfection of life is a teardrop of separation from Krishna, from the devotees, the beloved of Krishna. So Uddhava went and saw that although Krishna left many, many years ago, their separation, instead of exciting, only intensified. So when he came back, and they began to discuss this, and Krishna was hearing, he went into this state. And now they revived him, and now he's back to, and he understands that actually these things didn't work. Krishna then looked at his brother's face and smiled as if embarrassed. And since Krishna's body was covered with dust, Balaram wiped him clean and bathed him in the sea. So he was covered in dust and his ecstasy, and he was thinking he was a coward, but he rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. At that moment, Garuda arrived because he had understood the Lord's mood perfectly well. Krishna mounted him and returned unseen to the palace. Now, this is a narrative that's going on. Now we're seeing how Krishna is returning. Garuda had brought him there. Garuda is bringing him back. But the real theme of this book is the ultimate recipient of Krishna's mercy, which is the residence of Vrindavan. And the love of the Krishna residence of Vrindavan, or the extent of their love, draws out the depth of the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the depth of his love, was exhibited in Mother Vrindavan, because when Krishna awoke and he saw the statue of the gopis, and they didn't talk to him, but then he said, okay, they're angry with me. The intimacy and the residence of Dwarka, the queen, who were hiding behind the trees because they did not want, they wanted to go along with the ploy that Krishna was in Vrindavan to awaken him from the devastating mood of his separation, but still, they were able to hide and watch, and they saw something so wonderful. They saw an intimate side of their husbands, because still, they're the wives. And Krishna is not only the husband, but he's the king. So he still has to maintain some superiority, maintain just a little formality, a little distance, to satisfy the queen, to have a tinge of reverence to him as the king. So they never saw anything. They never saw their husband. They never saw the extent of the beauty of their husband Krishna's heart. And to see that, which came out in the facsimile of his association with the residents of Vrindavan, to see that and to feel that in relationship with God, that's the greatest extent of Krishna's mercy. And that's the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, and that's what's being brought out in this book. So what's going to happen now a wonderful, wonderful thing is going to manifest. What's going to happen now is that Krishna's going to go back to the palace. And he's going to meet with the queens who saw this. But there's one queen, Satyabhama, and her mood is contrary love. There's submissive love and there's contrary love. Her mood is the contrary love. So instead of appreciating their husband and the beauty of their husband, it came out in his relationship with the gopis in Love of Vrindavan. Rather than appreciating that, she becomes jealous and angry. And now what's going to happen in the chapter, and this is coming out, Krishna, who's usually a little bit afraid of Satyabhama, is so upset that she's not there, he's going to tell her why the residents of Vrindavan have the most intimate love and are the topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy. And then Narada Muni, who's watching this, will actually have his quest satisfied. And it's also meant to solidify and affirm our quest as devotees of Krishna, who is the most beautiful, intimate manifestation of God. He's going to play the flute. What is the flute? It's the amplification of one's heart externally for all to see. That's what jazz is. That's what the flute playing is. He doesn't have to hold back because he has to keep some superiority to rule over others as a servant, as divinity, or servant as a king. But he can let it all hang out. And that's what Krishna means, and that's the beauty of God. The beauty of God, of the God, of the supreme manifestation, absolute truth, that will amplify his heart. Because he has such intimate and confidential dealings with the residents of Vrindavan. So, now we're going to go into the story, and I'm kind of into, I'm doing more verses today than usual, but the all-knowing Uddhava informed Devaki with meaning and the others what was happening. So, Uddhava goes forward and tells the queens what happened, that, you know, it was successful, Krishna is revived. And then he brings all the queens to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. Mother Devaki greeted her son with blessings, well aware of what time it was. She quickly went to prepare his meal. She's preparing the meal, but also because she understands that this is going to be a very intimate discussion that we're going to hear. She wants to leave the queens alone with Krishna. So, and this is beautiful. The commentary actually highlights exactly what's been happening in this book. Devaki is excusing herself from the company of Krishna's queens, left Krishna at liberty to discuss with them frankly the matter which is the essential message of this chapter, the supreme devotion of the young gopis of Vrindavan. Because Krishna is going to say, Satyabhama, you want to know why I love the gopis so much? I'll tell you why, Satyabhama. And then Krishna is going to glorify the bhava, or the intimacy, or the force of love of the gopis that brings out the best of him, which is his inner heart, which is the supreme manifestation of his person. It's like the Kaliya serpent. When the wives of the Kaliya servant want to plead with Krishna not to kill their husband. They point to the fact that if you want to kill Kali, you have to explain how he was fortunate enough to have the dust of your lotus feet on his head. Because there's nothing greater than the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on one's head. It's greater than sovereignty over the whole world, the whole universe. There's nothing. Because sovereignty over the whole universe won't fill your heart with love and happiness. In fact, it may be the opposite, unless one is immensely qualified. So that's not the greatest mercy. The greatest mercy is to have the heart filled with love. So he's saying, why Krishna, the Nandapati? He's very humbly saying, how is my husband had the dust of his feet on his head? Was he pious in his previous life? Did he perform the piety of showing respect to others? Did he perform the piety of being humble? Did he show the piety of showing compassion to others? Because this is the way one gets the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on one's head. There's no other way but by humility, respect to others, and compassion. There's no other way. Because without those core qualities, one cannot open his heart fully in a loving relationship with God. But then he said, well, even if they didn't have poverty, that means he's extreme recipient of mercy. Because what is the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on one's head? It means that Krishna has accepted one. And that's what our prayers are. I know Satyanagar Maharaj has often said that one of his main prayers of chanting japa is to Krishna, will you accept me? When you're intensely in love, then the greatest thing is the acceptance of that love. Generally, by an offering of an opportunity to do service. So, we're going to be discussing this, and therefore, the devotee excuse herself. This is going to be talking about the love of the gopis. And Krishna would feel too much reverence and respect for his mother to talk openly about these things in his presence. And she also knew it's time to cook for Krishna. But on a deeper level, she wanted to serve Krishna by allowing him to talk openly about his love for the gopis and why the gopis are the greatest devotees. The beloved queens of the Lord stay hidden behind objects such as columns not approaching them. The Chetyabana have not come there with the others. So Krishna asked about it and Buddha himself. The other queens are waiting very, very humbly for Krishna. And actually, they're so much appreciated what they say. They didn't become jealous. They had incredible love for Krishna. And when they saw him manifest his true nature, his full nature, his original nature, their love for him increased a millionfold. So even the rest of the chapters, Uddhava is now going to answer Krishna's question. So, he's going to explain about Satyabhama. He said, when you took your glorious excursion to Vrindavan, which is embraced by Raja Tehel, that was new Vrindavan, another Vrindavan. Your special mood might have bewildered the unintelligent. So it might be, it might bewilder one. Here it is, the king of Dwarka. You know, the intimacy is hard to reveal, but it bewildered someone. I thought you were the king. Now I see you're just an ordinary person, with ordinary emotions. And you're crying. And you're, you know, love and so many things. So generally, when you have a superior relationship that's a valid one, that serves the purpose, like a father and a child, then to keep the dignity of that relationship, the father's very intimate side will never be shown to the son. And if it is shown to the son, it may bewilder him. Because his father's like God when he sees him just joking like an ordinary person with his friends, or having intimate relationships with his mother. And therefore, in the classic conservative houses in India, there was a central part of the house where the husband and wife would have their intimate dealings that was off limits to everyone else in the house, of course, the children. And then they would go outside that place and they would cover that intimacy because it would be bewildering to the son to have hold him in such distance and such respect and such reverence. So ordinarily, when this special mood of Krishna in reciprocation to the gopis was manifest, it was bewildering people that weren't so qualified. But Buddha says, your queens perceived it and understood it. They therefore hid themselves, watching from a distance. So, they saw that move that they were hiding. Then the spiteful, weak-minded poverty addressed Padmavati addressed them as the mother of Kamsa. Oh, Devaki, devoid of pious credit, or unfortunate with need, wretched Satyabhama, Jambati, and you other miserable women, look here. She's dressing all the queens of Krishna. From now on, you should give up your pride and undergo the greatest penance to become servants to those abhya monad women. Well, very, what he's saying is, Padmavati is saying, in such a clear way, that you're wretched, you're poor. And you're unfortunate. And you give up your pride and undergo penance to become, he says, those abhya nova. He's talking about the gopis, abhya nomad women, they similar. To the, you know, the gopis just take care of cows. In one sense, it's not a very high position, but she's referring to the gopis in that way. And just perform penances and you could become like the gopis. Perform austerity. And you just give up your pride because you're nothing compared to them. And then you're just still explaining to Krishna, the wise Devaki shelters you, who shelter the entire world. And she heard those wicked words. She said, foolish woman, what is unusual here? She, Vasudeva, and I in our previous life underwent austerity to get the Lord as our son, and therefore the Lord, the bestower of all boons, accepted that role. But Nanda and Yasoda prayed to the Lord the Mahatma pure devotion. Anyway, I'm going to stop very soon and ask the questions, but what happens here is very interesting. Buddha is telling Krishna, that Devaki, when she heard those wicked words to the queen that basically saying, you're nothing. You're nothing compared to the residents of Vrindavan. Which we saw what they are. And we saw the extent and level of their love. You're nothing. And then Devaki says, now she's going to argue in a very nice way, and she says, she turns to Padmati and says, foolish Padmati, what is unusual here? Even I and Vasudeva and Devaki, who's the parents of Krishna, we are nothing. We are nothing compared to Narada and Yasoda. We're nothing compared to them. Because we prayed to have Krishna as our son. And we took three births, and each time had the Supreme Lord. We wanted the Supreme Lord as our son. But your being had no personal motive, Nanda and Yasoda, and they prayed to Lord Brahma for pure devotion. They just wanted to serve God. And therefore, Devaki and Vasudeva got Krishna as their son. But Nanda and Yasoda got to serve him so intimately as Krishna's mother and Krishna's father in such a pure, intimate way. So what it's going to do now is, in many, many ways, there's going to be a comparison between the devotees in Vrindavan and the devotees anywhere else. Because as soon as Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he starts to manifest his divinity, even in the Krishna Lila. As soon as he leaves, he kills Kamsa, he becomes the king. He starts to manifest his position and cover his personality. So, the full manifestation of God is going to be described in different nations. Okay, we'll stop here today. Today was a Kadasi here. I guess it's probably starting there in the morning. If this is the evening and I did my Kadasi Gatha. Okay. Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Bol. Thank you so much.
My heart is full of gratitude.
What's that?
I said my heart is still Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I said it kind of pinched, not kind of, it pinched my heart when I heard you say that Krishna told Satyabhama that she is nothing compared to the residents of Vrindavan. I mean, even if it's true, the fact that he told her that,
We'll get and see exactly what he told her. I don't think he told her you're nothing compared to them. But he had to explain to her why he loved them. Why he loved them so much. And then he began to explain the level of their love.
That's okay. But I just need to know that he didn't tell her that.
I haven't gone forward to the story. He just told us the level of the love of the residents of Vrindavan.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Shastradas.
You in a week, Shastra.
I'm excited to hear 4 weeks of your classes.
I'll be there on the 22nd evening.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you'll be there the 22nd afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so basically at the same time. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Hi, Bo. I just sent a letter to Dr. Radhe about suggested dates for me to speak there in New Jersey. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bo, Maharaj.
Hari Bo, Mother and Johnny. Hi, Krishna.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
For class.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, it's Chinese Thai here.
Hi, Hari Bo. We got it down now. I think I'm getting proper technology here so we can have uninterrupted class.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll see you all. It's late at night here, so I guess I'll just... And Chakotay, please just... Chakotay, please, if you have a question, I'm talking to you.